Luke chapter 6 tonight. I'm still preaching the series of messages that I started this morning on getting back to the basics. And right now I'm preaching on the basics and that of salvation. And we looked this morning on what it means to be saved or how to be saved. And we went through what the Bible said about trusting the Lord, confessing Him with your mouth, believing in Him with your heart. And we looked at being a sinner and what all those things mean and what it takes, and talked about the simplicity of salvation. Salvation, it is very simple to get saved, but yet salvation is not simple because everything that Christ had to do for us, salvation for us is very simple, but boy, He died for us so that we could be saved tonight. And that's just a wonder and a wonderful thing tonight. We'll start in Luke chapter 6. I ask you to stand to your feet tonight. Y'all ought to know this. We read it this morning, but we'll start here. Verse 47. Now, we're glad to have Brother Davis with us tonight. He's a missionary to Utah. When I get done preaching here, he's going to come and present the ministry to us tonight. We're glad to have him with us. Amen. Going to go out to Utah and church plan. So, boy, we're thankful God's still calling men to go church plan. Amen. Luke chapter 6 tonight, look in verse 47. And your Bible reads, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Now let me park right here and say this tonight. Just because you're dig deep and just because you're built upon the rock does not mean that the flood will not come. Does not mean things will not beat upon your house. But notice right here it said that it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Well, you found it on the rock, that's all that matters tonight. Amen. But then he said in verse 49, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, ask you now to help us. Help us preach and give us unction from the Holy One. Lord, it's been wonderful to already be here tonight for all the singing, the special singing. What a blessing, Lord, that it has been. What a blessing you are to us and have given us tonight. But give us unction from the Holy One. Touch us and help us now. Help the one that might be lost to get saved. And somebody that needs help, I pray they'll trust in you tonight. Save that sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I talked about getting back to the basics, and the word basic means to form, forming an essential foundation or starting point or a fundamental. We're kind of known, I guess, as being independent Baptists. We're independent fundamental Baptists, I guess. But tonight, in other words, we just believe a Bible. But we believe more than just a Bible. We believe the King James Bible. But in believing the Bible tonight, we form our essential doctrine and our foundation upon what the Word of God has to say. I mean, we are a people of a book and a people of a Bible tonight, because without it we would have no hope and have no direction in our life tonight. A man at his all, what was it the Bible said? A man in his best state is altogether vanity. If we were left by ourselves, we'd get it wrong. I mean, Adam and Eve proved that in the garden. They proved that during Noah's day, that they're going to get it wrong. But yet, when we've got the Word of God in front of us to help us and to direct us, we can get it right tonight. Now, ain't you glad of that? Amen. You can be right. I like being right. Amen. I do. I'll be honest with you. I like being right with the Lord. I like being right with myself. I like being right with my wife. I like being right with my neighbor. I just like being right. Amen. I'll argue with my wife from time to time. Even when I know she's right, but I don't want her to think that. And so I'll argue with her just for the sake of arguing with her. And we was about to get in a little fizz there. It's been two or three years ago, and I remember we was upstairs, and she's about to get to me because she's about to back me up in the corner. And here's what she said. She said, "I just thought we was arguing. That's just something we like to do every now and again. Just arguing, carry on, you know." But tonight I want you to look in verse 48, and we'll look at this again, and we'll get on with the message. He talks about this man that heard the word of God and then done the word of God. He is like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And so tonight, as we look at the foundation and the fundamental of salvation, we've seen this morning what it means to be saved, but number two tonight, in the assurance of your salvation. I believe tonight that we can be assured of our salvation. I did not ask Jacob to sing Blessed Assurance tonight, but I thought, boy, what a wonderful song to go with part of the message this evening. Ain't you glad that, friend, that we can have assurance of our salvation? That's where our peace and our joy and our happiness comes from. And some people will say, well, let me say tonight that some people have doubts about their salvation. I've heard preachers say, and we were discussing it the other day, me and Brother Marvin was, if you doubt 1%, then you're lost 100%. That ain't true tonight. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will jump up on your shoulder and he'll begin to talk to you if you'll listen to him, and he can confuse you. Now, I'm not here tonight, as I said this morning, to talk you in or out of your salvation. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But he'll get you to wondering, did I do the right thing or did I say the right thing when I come to get saved? Did I really mean what I said when I prayed? And all these things will roll over in your mind. Or was God really dealing with me when I went to get saved? And those are things that, friend, I'm going to be honest with you, that the devil wants to convince the lost world that they're okay, that they're secure, but yet he wants to confuse the saint about their salvation. I believe that tonight. Because I know that if he can keep you confused about that thing, you'll never go anywhere for the Lord. You'll never get past that tonight. And the word doubt means to waver or to fluctuate in opinion. It means to fear or to question or to distrust. And so tonight in your salvation, I think the Lord really wants us to have that blessed assurance. Little John said in 1 John 5:13 that you may know that you have eternal life. I think he wants us to have assurance about that thing. Let me say quickly tonight, by doubting, take your Bible and go to John chapter 1. As I say, you've got to work some things out with you and God. You've got to work some things out. I'm going to deal with that, how to know that you're saved and to have blessed assurance tonight. In John chapter 1, look in verse 26. Well, let me go back to verse 25. I'm talking about the Pharisees here. And they asked him, talking about John the Baptist, and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" Now that prophet, I believe that they're referring to there, was the one that Moses had prophesied of and said, "There'll be one like me that comes, but you'll hear him." And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Boy, John said a mouthful right there, didn't he? Well, can you imagine? I get this thing kind of in my mind, and I've got Jordan pictured down there when he's out baptizing, and boy, he sees Jesus off in the distance. And he sees him coming, and boy, he's got a crowd of people there, and he's baptized. I can see him as he holds out his hand, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh boy, I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad Jesus took my sin away, and I no longer have to worry about that thing. Well, what Jesus done at Calvary paid for my sin, but what I done one Sunday night and coming to Him and trusting Him, I took care of my sin, friend. This is of He whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John by a record saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, let me park right here. Who sent John to baptize with water? God the Father sent him to baptize with water, didn't he? He said, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him by a record that this is the Son of God. John said, I saw him. I know. John got the handling. John got the baptizing. Boy, wasn't that a sight over there? And then to hear from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 11. I'm talking about doubting right now. You say, what's that got to do with doubting? Look in Matthew chapter 11. Begin to read in verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I'm going to read on here in a minute, but this is the same John that a year ago was baptizing down in Jordan and stood out there and said, look at him. He said, behold, how the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, God told me the one that I seen the Spirit descend upon and remain upon, that's him. And he said, I'm telling you, he was the Son of God. But yet right here, Matthew chapter 11, John said, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? John in prison. John's been in prison for preaching over there. You remember that Herod could not have Philip's wife. He's been in prison for a certain amount of time. And now he's begun to doubt about who Jesus is. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he told his disciples, he said, you go back and you tell John what you've seen, and he'll know that it was me. John will know these things. He'll know what the Old Testament had to say about me, and said, John will know that that was me. But again, keep on reading verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes, watch this right here concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. And what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. That's a big statement that Jesus said. He said, you come to see a prophet, but there's really more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not one, not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is the greater than he. He said, there's not been one greater than John the Baptist. And John sent his disciples and said, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? I'm going to tell you, if you've never doubted your salvation, as one preacher said, bless your heart and good for you. I hope you never have. I believe it was a lady run up to Charles Spurgeon one time. She said, preacher, I've been saved for 29 years and I've never doubted it. And he said, I doubt that's what you got it. Now, I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you. And that was from the Prince of Preachers almost. But a person can get to a place to where we doubt what God really done for us. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us, I believe it is, that you can get, or it may be chapter 2, I'd have to go by. Well, let's go over there and look in 2 Peter. I'll go over there. You don't have to go if you don't want to. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He said, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside thee, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound. Now notice, he said not only in you, but he said let them abound. He said, let all that stuff abound. He said, look, he said, let your faith and your virtue and your diligence and your knowledge and your temperance and your patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. He said, not only have it, but he said, let it abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And then notice what your Bible says. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I almost believe that this leads us into the way that a man can get backslid on the Lord and begin to wonder if he'd ever been saved. I believe that the Christian sometimes doubts their salvation. And in sin, I believe that the believer will doubt whether they've ever been saved. And you know, I really have a problem. I do, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I really got a problem of people that tell me that they're okay with the Lord, but yet they have none of these things right here. They don't have faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. I really got a problem with that. Because he said that if we didn't have those, and I understand that you can be saved and not have these things. I really got a problem with it when people don't at least exhibit a few of those things. But I believe you can get so backslid that you can wonder and doubt your salvation. But how do we have assurance of salvation? How do we have assurance? How, you know, well, I want that feeling, preacher. I mean, I want to feel saved too, don't you? Amen. I like feeling saved. I like knowing that I'm saved. I like that peace and joy that comes with salvation. You know, David said in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I believe there's joy in salvation, friend. I really do. But how do we have that? First of all, did we do what the Bible said to do? We looked at that this morning. What it means to be saved. What it takes to get saved. How to believe on the Lord and ask Him to save you. To realize that you're lost and come and ask Him and He will save you. You cannot get by without asking Him to save you. Now you may not use those words or that terminology. You may come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sins? I need to be saved. Or boy, I mean, just pour your heart out to Him. You may not ever utter anything with your mouth. You know, the Bible talks about Hannah over there when she prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Said that her lips moved, but there wasn't nothing come out. But you know, God heard her prayer. Eli couldn't hear her prayer, but God heard her prayer. But did you do what the Bible says? Now, can I tell you tonight, if we done what the Bible said to do, that ought to settle it for us tonight. But you know, sometimes it just don't. We need a little help tonight. What is it with us tonight? I'm this way, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I just need some help with some things, don't you? I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe I'm the only one in here like that. But I've talked to enough people, I know better than that. 2 Corinthians tells us this. He said in verse 5, chapter 5, and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So when you become a new creature in Christ, then something happens to you. There is a change that takes place on the inside. You know, when I got saved at 14 years old, there was not a lot of bad. I could see the road that I was headed down, but I grew up in church. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents kept me out of bad as much as they could. But I can see the change that took place when I got saved. I remember in the first week of being saved, I can remember some friends changed. Some things changed. You know that I began to like church. You know, until I got saved, I didn't care too much for church. That's a surprise, ain't it? You know, most unsaved people don't care for church. Not Bible preaching. Not singing the songs of Zion. They don't like them. I mean, now they'll go somewhere where they can feel good about themselves. And the preacher will preach a sermonette to a Christianette smoking a cigarette. That all rhymes pretty good, don't it? That's a good old saying, ain't it? But you know, if you go back and you look, I thought about the Apostle Paul when he got saved. What a great change. I thought about the Philippian jailer when he got saved. What a great change. Some of you all had such a great change in your life the day that you got saved. It changed you completely. Can I tell you, whether you see it or not, if you truly got saved, it changed you completely. It made a difference in your life. I always think about Brother Ted Pegram. He said, I know I got saved. He got saved at 30 years old. God come by and touched his heart. He said, I used to gamble away the house money. If he wasn't gambling it away, he was drinking it up. I remember he bought an old car one time, and he was telling this story, and he said it had beer cans in the back in the trunk of it. And he asked his priest, he said, what am I going to do? He said, I can't put them beer cans in a garbage bag and set it out for the trash man to get, because somebody might see them beer cans and think I've been drinking again. His preacher said, you go find you a dead end road and just throw them out at the end of the dead end road. Now, I'm not sure that's right either, but that's what he told him to do. Amen. Your testimony matters tonight. Amen. Somebody sees you throwing cans out on the road too, that may ruin your testimony too. I ain't so sure. But Brother Ted said, when I got saved, I know I got saved. God, I don't gamble away the house money anymore. I don't drink it up anymore. And so when some people get saved, they have such a great change. It's so noticeable to them and to everybody about them. But what happens when these young'uns get saved? What happens when these little'uns get saved that really hadn't been steeped in sin, but yet God in His infinite mercy and wisdom dealt with them and they got saved early in life? And then you hear somebody like me get up and preach and start talking about a change that must take place in your life. Every now and again that can come a little confusing. But what you have to understand, you remember what the Apostle Paul told Timothy over there? You remember what it was? He talked about the faith that his mother and grandmother, that Eunice and Lois had. And he said, I believe it's in you also. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, the great thing about getting saved early in life is there is a change that takes place, and it keeps you out of so much trouble. It keeps you out of so much sin and keeps you out. And I know we can get back, sit on God and get out in the world and mess things up. But I'm going to tell you what tonight. You can get out there, but you won't stay out there. He'll get your attention sooner or later. I'll deal with that here in a minute. And so let me tell you, when you get saved, there's a change. You know why you never wanted to go out in the world if you got saved as a child? Because of the salvation that resides in you. You know why, even when you done wrong, when you was growing up and there was something that bothered you, it was because of the salvation that was on the inside of you. That brings me to 1 John chapter 4. He said, hereby know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given of us His Spirit. You'll know another way that you know that you're saved. Not only was there a change, but the Holy Spirit resides inside of you. Resides inside of you. He's in there. Well, when you start to do wrong, or maybe think wrong, or said something wrong, listen, it's that Holy Spirit that rises up on the inside of you and says, hey, you got to make this thing right. When you go to witness and you need courage and that to step out, where do you think that courage comes from? It's the Holy Spirit that gives you courage. Boy, when you need wisdom and that in a situation, where do you think the wisdom comes from that He gives us out of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit takes this book and begins to open it to us so that we might have it and use it. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. You don't know how you know that you're saved. There's been a change. You come the way the Bible said. The Holy Spirit resides in you. If you've never had a change, you ain't never got saved. You never got saved, for there never was change. People tell me they got saved, yet they live like the world and don't think nothing of it. Now, I'm going to tell you now, believers can live like the world, but they'll think something of it. And they will. Now, God will deal with them about that thing. And it, you may not see it bother them, but bless God, it'll bother them. Amen? And eventually, they're going to have to deal with it. Can I tell you tonight that it is the Holy Spirit of God residing in you that reveals this book to you? I've told you this before. You know how I know I'm saved? Man, I do more than just glean out of this book. God has lit the pages of this book up and lightened mine eyes, and I've watched the words of dance across the pages of this book and become alive in front of me, and God began to do something in my heart with this book right here. Where do you get that from? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things we also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I believe a lost man can glean enough out of this book, teach him, tell him how to get saved. I believe he can learn character out of this book. But boy, them deep things belong in that to God and to the people of God. Do you know when you get saved? Now I'm talking about how do you have assurance of your salvation. Do you know that you'll love the brethren? We know that 1 John chapter 3, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death, Bible says. You won't know if you're saved. You love God's people. You love coming to church and just fellowship with God's people. You know I love coming to church. You know after I got saved, I told you I just love coming to church. But you know I just learned to love God's people. I did. I mean, I just fell in love with them. Just fell in. I can remember when I was 16 years old, I'd be the first one at the church house. I wanted we just have time. I mean, I just loved fellowship with God's people. I know I probably wore some of them out because I wanted to do all the talking. But I mean, it is just good to be around God's people. I wouldn't want to be around nobody else. I just love. He said, because you love the brethren. Hey, you know you pass from death unto life? Because you love the brethren. Now let me say, some of them are hard to like. Amen? But we love the brethren. Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't love the brethren, you know if you love people, you'll show them. You'll tell them, but you'll show them that you love them. How much do we show each other that we love them? How much do we show each other how much we care for them? You know, if you love somebody, you'll pray for them, won't you? If they're in need, you'll help them in the midst of that need. See, it's one thing for you to sit on that church pew and for me to stand where I'm at and say, oh yeah, I love the brethren. But it's another to have charity toward them and put that love into action, ain't it? Think about it for just a second. How much do we love the brethren? He said, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. What about somebody that we just know that's saved, but we might not know much about them? How much do we love them? You say, well, preacher, you want me to pray for everybody and help everybody? No, I'm just saying, you see the brethren in need, we need to do something. That's how we know. That's how we have blessed assurance that we're saved tonight. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and look in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. What's he saying right here? He's saying if you truly are saved, if you're truly a child of God, then when it is chastening time, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. I don't find no room for if, ands, or buts, if you'd let me say that. But he says right here, he said, if you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth? What son is he going to have that he's not going to chasten? There ain't a one. He's always going to chasten and rebuke his children that get out of line. But he said, if you're without chastisement, now notice what your Bible said, whereof all are partakers. In other words, if you're saved, you can't escape chastisement. All are partakers. But if you do not have chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons? You're not truly a son tonight. Can I tell you tonight, the one way that I, well, more than one, but this is one way that I know that I'm saved, is that when I do wrong, he does tend to get my attention. You get out in the world. Listen to me tonight, church. You know, people that tells me that they're saved, and we're going back to this again, but tells me that they're saved and they're all right, but yet they never darken the door of a church, but yet you never see any fruit or anything out of their life. And they're living like the world and they tell me that they're okay. Somebody's lying. Either they're lying or the Bible's lying. I mean, because don't you believe the Bible tonight? Well, preacher, you got to take what... No, I don't have to take what they say, but I do take what this Bible says. This thing's right. I don't care if it's your family or my family. I don't care who. I don't care if it's my own mom and daddy, my own flesh and blood tonight. I don't matter tonight. If you ain't right with God and you're without chastisement, then you ain't saved tonight. I don't know how else to put it tonight any plainer. He said, you bastards and not sons. He said, all are partakers. So, not that I want the chastening hand of God in my life, because I do not. But when I know that it comes to correct me when I need correction, oh, that's so good. Because you know who corrected me growing up? My dad did. And my mother did. You know why? Because I was theirs. Can I say this tonight? I was born... And this is going to get into this eternal security part next. I ain't going to preach it tonight. We're out of time. I didn't think I'd get there tonight. Unless you want to set for another 30, 45, 50 minutes, I'll keep preaching. Say amen, Brother Marvin. He wouldn't do it. But you know what tonight? There's nothing can change the fact that I belong to Tommy and June Latham in Sweetwater, Tennessee. I'm theirs. And they both corrected me growing up. Why? Because they loved me and I was theirs. Can I tell you tonight, getting back to this doubt, I'm going to close, okay? I hope I've been very plain tonight about the assurance of salvation. You can have it and I can have it, and we're going to doubt from time to time. If you do, and I think there will come time we'll get that thing settled. Because when you get that thing settled, you can go on and serve Christ and live for Him and do what He wants you to do. There was a young lady, and I'm going to tell just a couple stories and I'm going to close. There was a young lady that came to my wife and me one time. And she brought her Bible. And she said, I've got this Bible where my mom has wrote down that I got saved on this date, and then I got saved on this date, and then I got saved on this date. And she felt like God was still dealing with her. And she struggled to get that thing settled. And she made another profession. And I hope she got it settled. I do. But I really don't think God wants us to go down that road. And some people will go down that road. Listen, they struggle with that thing. They struggle with it and struggle with it. And that may be you tonight. I hope it ain't. I hope you got that thing settled. Because if we go through all this thing. Because see, here's the bottom line, friend. If you come and do what God said, that's all that matters. The devil can't take it from you. If you do what he said, and he's gave us the outline on this thing to see what it means and what it takes. And I hope she got it settled. I really do. She told me she did, and I hope she did. I really hope she got that thing settled. But I come back to this, and I'm going to wrap back around to this, and I'm going to close. But people say, well, I can't remember what I said or what I done. Can I be honest with you tonight? The day that me and Miss Kelly got married, I don't remember what I said to her. I don't. Now, I can go back and look and probably find the marriage ceremony in one of them books that I have at the house and know that was one that the preacher used. And so I can go back, or we can go back on the videotape and probably look and see what I said. And I can just about say that she don't remember. She might be able to quote it. I don't know. She loves me pretty much. She might be able to remember. I don't know. But you know, I ain't even sure where our marriage certificate is. And if that thing burn up in the house tonight, Lord, don't let my house catch you on fire. But if that thing burn up in the house tonight, none of that stuff's going to change anything that me and her's married. Just because I cannot remember what I told her the day that we got married does not change the fact that we're married. Because we may or may not be able to find our certificate does not matter whether we do or don't, we're still married. You may not remember what you told him that day, but if you did ask him to save you, he saved you. If you asked him to come into your heart, he done that thing. There's people over in the nursing home right now where Miss Margie works at. They don't even know that they're in this world. And some of them laying over there is saved tonight. Now, are you going to tell me that they can remember every bit of that? Listen, I ain't doing the keeping tonight. He's doing the keeping. And boy, when we get that thing settled off into our heart that we done what God wanted and he's gave us everything that we can know that we're saved tonight, gave us assurance, and he can give you peace in your heart, he can help you tonight. If you don't know that tonight, I want you to come. He can help you get that settled off into your heart tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. Let's come tonight. Jacob, if you'll come. Come on, Brother Marvin. I don't pretend to know what you deal with every week and every day, but if you've been struggling with the assurance of your salvation, there's ways to know. Did you do what the Bible said? All Satan wants to monkey with you so much and wants to bother you so much sometimes, but if you've done what the Bible said to do about salvation, and he done his part. And I'm just depending on him to do the keeping tonight. If there wasn't a change though, I begin to wonder. Is there something on the inside of you that makes you different from this world? This world does not appeal, never has appealed to me as long as I remember. Things of this world. Boy, after I got saved, the world had no draw. If you're struggling with that tonight, won't you come and talk to the Lord? You may not have ever been saved tonight, I don't know. The Lord sure wants to help you. You say, well, preacher, I can do wrong and get by. I'd wonder about things. Oh, thank God for the chastening hand of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. I pray you'll help during this invitation. We've just tried to preach what you've given us. Lord, just on blessed assurance, on having the assurance of our salvation, to know that we're saved. I'm glad there is a feeling that you give us to let us know, but that feeling is based on the facts of the Word of God tonight and of the faith that we placed in you.
If somebody needs help tonight, I pray they found it in you. If they need to move, I pray they'll move tonight. Save somebody that might be lost. Help in this invitation, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.